experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled. From the studio gym where excuses never apply. It's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Welcome back to another episode of Superhuman Radio. As you know, today is every other Thursday, and on every other Thursday, I'm joined by my good friend Adam Lamb, who we're going to play his theme music now.
The first step to changing your life starts with the Renew Life Show with Adam Lamb.
You ought to get this and download it to your iPhone, and whenever you walk around the house, like you walk from the living room to the kitchen, you should play it. So you have your own, you actually have your own theme music. How about that?
I like it. Yeah. I want a copy of it. I think it's kind of, every time you play it, I'm like, oh, it's nice.
I'll send it to you. I will. You know what Dr. Jeff Galini did with all the years that we did Science for Humans? He put them all on his on hold button. So if you call All American Pharmaceutical and get put on hold, you listen. It's weird when I used to call there and I would hear my voice on their hold button. It was like in the middle of a
cool.
Yeah. It's pretty cool.
You can
do that with these shows that you and I do. You could have somebody excerpt them and put them into your hold button.
I never have anyone on hold. It's not good.
That's a good thing, actually.
They'll put people on hold.
So this is going to be a good discussion. Actually, we planned on talking about this, and then Wyatt Everhart, a listener, who is also a high-level media person. He does the news, I want to say, in either in the Carolinas or in Maryland, I think Maryland. And he sent us some questions that feed right into this nicely. So we're going to talk about lab tests because this is an area of a lot of confusion. And the reason there's a lot of confusion is because doctors kind of willy-nilly decide what they want to run on the labs. And it's there's no... apparently no uniform consensus among doctors. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I think that's like any situation, depending on what you're looking for, there's certain tools you bring to the dig, right? If you're mining gold or silver, I don't know anything about either one of those, but I assume that different things require your dinosaur bones, right? Like you're going to have different tools for that dig.
Right.
And if you're not experienced in, you know, digging up dinosaur bones, and you are experienced in gold mining, you may not be right. You may
right.
not be
you, you,
right.
You're equipped to dig for one, but maybe not necessarily the other one. I agree completely. It's a good analogy, actually. Yeah.
Thanks.
Yeah, digging is the one thing they have in common is digging, and that's where doctors get in trouble. So they think that, oh, I know, you know, what I need to run, but science in this space has changed over the past 5 years so dramatically. Yeah.
So. And, you know, one thing that I always explain to some of the clients when we're talking to them about onboarding, too, is like, listen, we don't know everything. We're not 100% right. There's some trial and error. That's why our follow-up process is so important, why we touch base every week to see how people are feeling. But it also goes back to our blood work compared to, like, what we used to look at before to what we looked at, you know, a year or two ago to what we look at today, right? And we keep... You know, I was explaining to you earlier about, we'll talk about maybe a little later about an AI thing that we're working on that's going to, like, I think, revolutionize the hormone industry for people. But constantly refining the data, right? Like any time that you're just like, here's it, this, we don't need anything else, right? That's crazy talk because if you're constantly learning, you do have to be constantly changing or adjusting a little bit.
And the other side of that discussion is, oh, it's evil. No one should be using it. And so, and this is the problem with science in general. And I posted something on Facebook just recently. I said, how to spot a fraud health guru. Mm-hmm. And then it was like, insert here. And then, is the cause for all disease? Like when people start making these broad stroke generalizations, like AIs are evil. No one should be taking them.
Right.
That is just as dumb as everybody should be taking AIs.
Right. Right. Yeah. Any absolutes in medicine is different. And that's, you know, where clients, again, like in the onboarding process, and they have questions and they're like, well, am I going to do this or what about this or what's the dosage or what? And I'm like, man, we don't know. Your blood work's going to come back. Our doctors are going to take a look at it and they're going to make recommendations specifically on your blood work, not for any other reason, because we don't know. You know what I mean? Like I for example, you know, looking at some labs at some new folks that came through, I was looking at, like, we had two guys who've never done any hormone replacement therapy in their life. They're, I think one was like late 40s, early 50s, that both have low, in the low range of estradiol, like below, I'd have to pull it up to find the exact mark.
But below 10. Below 10.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
and that, 10. And that's, is that picograms per deciliter, that's, or is that nanograms?
Let me pull it back up there. Hold on one second.
The scale.
The, it's picograms, yeah.
That's what I thought. The thing, because testosterone is a nanogram. So, and this is a really important discussion when we talk about estradiol specifically. I want to get something out of the way up front. This was one of Wyatt Everhart's questions, too. Men should be getting a high sensitivity estradiol test, which is very different than a woman's test. And the reason for that is the high sensitivity is sensitive from 0 to 20. Okay? This is where, no, it's 0 to 40. This is where men get in trouble, because when they use the estradiol test made for women, theirs is not sensitive down on that low end, because women are always up here. Why are we going to even think about, you know, anybody down there? And so if guys don't specifically say to their doctor, are you getting me the high sensitivity estradiol test? They're not going to get it. They're going to get one that's going to have a huge margin of error in the zone that men always fall into. That's a thing that you have to watch out for.
Mm. Yeah, and we see, you know, in the things, you know, for estradiol, for example, or, you know, total estrogens, you know, those would be like the two that we typically kind of scrub to see. And, you know, based on our data, we have ranges of things like where it's at. You know, like I'm looking at a guy right here, his estradiol is at 5.3.
That's
right.
That's low.
Never touched anything in his life.
Right.
His testosterone is at 296.
That's probably why he's so low. He's got no testosterone either.
Well, yeah. And this guy, you know, per conversation, has had some depression issues, right? And the other things that, you know, we don't know, I'm looking at, like I said, this, there's deeper dives that the docs do with this and potentially other medication that, you know, that this guy's on that could be leading to lower estradiol, things like that. Like, I don't know, but it's stuff that we're looking at, we look into, right? We take, like I said, we take that deep dive to make sure that everything is super custom for that individual.
So let's talk about what the minimum is, what people should be expecting.
Big picture, one thing I see, like guys like you and I, Carl, we're in the know. We talk about this stuff every single day. And if we were to take steps back, right? I try to think of like the daily person that doesn't know anything about blood work. A lot of times, you know, one thing is we see that's overly focused on testosterone. Everyone's like, and a guy this morning was like, well, where do you want my testosterone to be? I'm like, I don't know. Our docs are going to see where you're at. And when you feel great, if you're healthy, you know what I mean? That's where you should be, you know, because depending on where maybe it's that 1,000 to 1,200 range is like the shot. Like, how do you feel there? Is it too much? Because we have clients that at 650, they feel great. And we have clients that they need to be near 1,500. And a lot of it has to do with their SHBG. And I would say almost every single time it has to do with their SHBG, where that's at, what that ratio looks like. But so that's why we look at that. But what I'm saying, one thing for the folks listening that aren't very educated on the blood work side of it is, there's a lot of things that have to be looked at, not just testosterone, right? And LH, FSH, SHBG is probably the number one thing that isn't and should be looked at. You know, if you're looking at testosterone, you need to look at SHBG, because it's going to tell the story of whether the testosterone's high or low, how effective it's being in your body, right? Whether there's enough things there for it to be binded to. And then general health stuff, you know, like in one of our kind of mottos is if you're healthy, you're in charge. If you're unhealthy, we're in charge.
Right.
Meaning that if guys come over that their hemoglobin, their hematocrit's jacked up because they've been not doing, we see all
kinds of
people
doing
300 milligrams of testosterone every 2 weeks is what their doctor has. Like, that's crazy, right? And so, but, and then maybe their cholesterol, it, maybe too much of an AI of certain kind that people are sensitive to could be
that will change HDL, lipids. That'll right? drop lipids.
But remember, not everybody. Right. Right? We have, and so there's different situations, and we have to help sometimes get people better. You know, like to the AI kind of discussion. Like there's some folks we've had come over recently from a clinic that they're doing 1 milligram of AI every other day. No one needs that.
That's a lot.
You know what I mean?
Because you're talking about anastrozole. You're talking about
anastrozole. 1 milligram every day.
That's crushing. That's going to crush your estrogen. Crush.
Right. And so, but there we have folks that don't do antiestrogen. We have folks that do a half a milligram anastrozole every other day. Limited. It might be two. Right. But different people are different. The one guy I'm thinking of that does. He's been a patient for 5 years, right? We've been monitoring him. His additional health measures are healthier today than he was. You know, it's,
right.
So I know that we're doing the right thing. His cardiologist actually was just telling me in December. I remember his name's Don, but he was saying that he's like, man, I don't know what the hell you're doing, but you're almost turning back the clock, you know.
Right.
And so he got back to us. He's like, man, you guys are, you know, we're changing his life from a health standpoint, even through doing those additional testing. But the going back to the blood work side is looking at things that also can be affected by testosterone adversely, right? So like if your testosterone's at 1200 and you feel amazing, but hemoglobin, hematocrit are high, you know, which we usually only see, we never see it with our patients, to be honest with you, but sometimes it happens with folks coming on board, usually from injections, usually from the once a weekers, and then, or, you know, cholesterol, blood pressure, right? If your blood pressure is cranking up because of the testosterone, that's a risk too. And so watching all of that stuff and then finding out how you feel is what the most important thing is, as opposed to, you know, people we see coming from other clinics, sometimes those low T clinics that they're just checking testosterone. They're never checking.
And that should be the red flag. Like if you walk into a clinic for hormone replacement therapy, and they go, you know, we start everybody off with this protocol.
Yeah.
That's they're using the same cookie cutter approach that the big pharma uses. Everybody just takes this dose. Or
right.
Everybody takes this pill for that, which in and of right. itself is also flawed. But it's and it's hard. But the problem is that people want that. People want. I had a guy message me this morning. I gave him your name.
Thank you.
He said, there's a clinic that just opened up in my town, and they do the pellet. What do you think about the pellet, testosterone pellet for men? So what do I message him back? What do you think I message him back? I message him back and said, well, what kind of testosterone are you on now?
Mm-hmm.
He goes, I'm not on any testosterone. I said, well, I would recommend that you start off with cream or injections first, and to see how you respond. I says, because once they put that pellet in you, you're on that ride for 3 months. And
right.
if it's not good for you, it's too high, it's too low, you don't feel better, you have to wait 3 months for an adjustment. Imagine a missile that had to only adjust once every 10 minutes. It's not going to hit its target. You know what I mean?
No.
So did you think I did the right thing? Is that the right thing? Pellet for somebody who's been on for years, but right out of the gate?
It works for somebody. It's, you know, and it goes into this conversation too, whether we're talking about estrogen and AI or pellet therapy. Like there's certain things that we have experience in that we have success with. Like you and I talked about, like the testosterone cream doing the scrotal application as opposed to, no one does that. We don't have anyone do it. We don't have the experience. Maybe it's better, but we know that the folks that put it on their forearm or the back of the knee, their blood work comes back, they're good. And we're not messing with anything downstairs. Because the last thing I want is someone to put something on there and there's some kind of adverse issue and maybe that doesn't work anymore. And now we did that. Right.
Right.
I don't want that problem.
Right.
So there could the pellets, does it, you know, one of my best friends has been on pellets for 8 years and
he loves
swears
it.
By it.
Right.
Yeah. And I'm like, I said, look, man, come on board. We'll take care. I do whatever. Right. He's a real good friend of mine. And, but loves the pellets. So, but in any situation, I think that you don't, you know, if the pellets were like, you're like, yeah, you know, you get a little bit of spike, you always said, like they turn the lights on in the warehouse and you're like, ah, well, of course that's good. But could it be better? Could it be healthier? Could it be safer? I think, in our opinion, the cream is the easiest way because you can
You can adjust your dose weekly if you have to.
Daily.
Yeah.
Well, you can do it daily.
Right.
And so that's the part that we really, really like. And then, you know, the injections, we don't have a beef with them, but the
they have the same. You know, so the injections and the weekly injections and the pellet have the same problems, but at a different magnitude. You know, your body likes to pulse testosterone daily, mm-hmm. and now you're turning it into a once a week pulse.
Yep.
And now we're going to turn it into a once every 3 months pulse.
Yeah. Well, even the daily injections, you know, where some people are just like, oh, well, just do daily, you know, do the daily injections. But here's the deal: most people don't want to. They don't want needles,
right?
Right. Like that's something. Like I said, like bringing it back. Like you and I talk about this every day. We've been in the space for a long time. Like Joe Blow, you know, business guy. He's like, dude, I'm not putting a needle anywhere. I'm not getting in a plane with a bunch of needles in my carry. Like they're not doing it.
Yeah, so, it's a stigma.
Yeah, there's a stigma, and at the end of the day, like. You're not going to hurt yourself putting cream on your forearms, but is where there could be an issue potentially with, you know, giving your injection wrong or doing something goofy. It's rare, right? But it can happen, and we just see the results that happen. And a lot of guys, I think, are still on the sidelines with looking into hormone therapy because they think they have to go to the doctor and get a shot every week or 2 weeks, or they have to just get a shot in general and they don't want to do it. You know what I mean? And so then when guys hear that we have, there's a cream option and it works really well, they're like, oh, cool, I'm in. I didn't know we could do that, you know, and then they get the results.
Let's go ahead and run through the list of what the male blood test looks like. Just go right down the list.
Yeah. So we have the CBC with differential platelet, metabolic panel, lipid panel with cholesterol, HDL ratio, DHEA, testosterone serum, TSH, IGF-1, FSH, LH, PSA, estrogen. We do sometimes estrogen total. It depends on but usually estradiol.
Right.
And then the SHBG.
And from the SHBG, there's a formula that you can take total testosterone serum and SHBG and calculate free testosterone.
There's an idea of if the SHBG is high, their free test will be low. And if their free test is high, it's usually a sign that their SHBG is low.
But we're learning now not to be afraid of SHBG. This whole idea of unbound testosterone is the only valuable testosterone we're learning now is not true.
No, it's not true. And that's something we, you know, for like a few years ago that, you know, we figured out like that doesn't, it's not true and it doesn't even
because make sense. I just had a friend from Sweden to message me this week and said my SHBG was 80. And I said, what's the assay there? And the high end was like 120 or something like that, or 100.
Oh, right.
And I said, how do you feel? He goes, I feel fantastic. I said, don't change it. I said, why do you want to lower your SHBG? He goes, well, doesn't it deactivate testosterone? I says, no, it actually is a chaperone. Think of it as a chaperone.
Right. It's the shuttle. And you know, what we'll do too with folks that have a higher SHBG, obviously they need, you know, higher levels of testosterone, but if their DHEA is typically low too, well, then we'll, you know, having DHEA, because it's also a sex hormone, it moves through there. It's very valuable to the body as far as directing hormone traffic where it needs to go, for example, mm-hmm. and adding that DHEA to the mix too. Now, if you're a low SHBG guy, you don't want to get the DHEA in there typically, and actually HCG becomes more of a priority because we see the HCG crank it back up. But if you have high SHBG, you're 53 years old, and your LH and FSH levels are fine, we're not putting you on HCG at that point, right? Because maybe it's every 6 months, you do 6 weeks or something like that. So there's all these different, you know, like I'm sharing with you, all these different little tweaks and formulas.
But they're not for everybody. They're only for some people.
And it's not for one blood mark.
Yeah,
it's
right.
It's not even for two. It's not even for three. You know what I'm saying? I just listed multiple reasons of why, based on this, and this, you're going to be here, right?
Right.
And that's what our docs do, and just because we've been doing it. We've had the data. You know, we work with thousands of people. You see all the stuff. You see the tweaks. You know,
see how they work, right?
Well, we're a technology company as much as we are. You know, if anything, we're just more of a health facilitating company than anything. The doctor's going, send is not you know, that's not rocket science, but right. figuring out the science side of it for the patient on how they feel and what that looks like from lab results is really important.
That CBC is where you're going to get your hematocrit from, right?
Yep.
That's where you're going to get hematocrit.
It what blows my mind is, and I say this, but if you have to donate blood every 6 weeks while you're on hormone therapy, you're not doing it right. And you should not have to. There's a few people that we see that are sensitive, and I would say almost 100% of the time they're on injections. But our client base doesn't have to do that.
Well, and I agree with you. You should not have to get blood drawn or donate blood because of your HRT. But you may want to donate blood to keep iron storage low in your body because there's evidence that you'll age much better.
Yeah.
So I get it. You're right. You shouldn't be going because your hematocrit is so high.
The doctor, the guys that come from clinics and they're like, oh, yeah, so I do this, and this, and I donate blood every 6 weeks. And I'm like, that you're doing it wrong. You know what I mean? It's like if you have to throw up every time you eat.
You're eating the wrong foods.
It's just, it's not a normal thing to do, but sometimes people think it is. I mean, donating blood, great. You want to do that once or twice a year and it's healthy, like you just said. I do it. I think it's smart and you're an opportunity to give back to others that may need it. But you shouldn't have to do it every 6 weeks because you're on hormone therapy. And so those kind of things that we see when the hematocrit, and we also see it in, you know, folks that are doing the 200 milligram every 2 weeks or 300 milligram every 2 week type spike is it just jacks the hemoglobin hematocrit up as opposed to having a more mainstream flow of testosterone.
So I would like to expand on this list real quick. I'm going to run through it, and I'm going to throw some things in that I think are important also. Obviously, CBC, metabolic panel, perfect. Lipid panel with cholesterol, HDL ratio, perfect. DHEA, testosterone serum, perfect. TSH, I really feel strongly that doesn't tell enough of a story to tell if the thyroid is functioning properly, because the thyroid requires conversion of hormones for it to truly work properly. So I think that total and free T3, total and free T4, reverse T3, which can cause problems. It can cause the symptoms of hypothyroidism even when there's adequate thyroid hormone, and you can figure that out right away when you look at the reverse T3. And then the last one is TPO, thyroid antibody, to make sure that you don't have autoimmunity coming on that's going to start to destroy your thyroid. I feel strongly about those. The one that I think is really great that you have on your list that most doctors don't pull for men is follicle-stimulating hormone. That's one that they pull for women. In fact, when I met Dr. Tutera in Arizona when he was still alive, and he was telling me about his pellet. He's the guy who brought Sotopelle to the United States.
Mm.
And he said he used follicle-stimulating hormone and luteinizing hormone to triangulate to tell if a woman had the right levels of estrogen and progesterone. Because if the woman's still producing high levels of follicle-stimulating hormone, or is it luteinizing hormone? I think it's luteinizing hormone. She doesn't have enough estrogen. Mm-hmm. He would get estrogen high enough that it would shut down the production of luteinizing hormone or follicle-stimulating hormone. I can't remember which one it is, but you pull these on men. Most doctors don't bother with that. Why do you pull these on men?
It's to help see the communication of the natural testosterone production. Like, so when those levels are low, typically there's poor communication between the testes and the brain basically to create testosterone. And we can also find that if the communication is good, you know, the levels are functional and they are good, that there's still a miscommunication. And we also see that there's sometimes when that is, like, let's say your FSH and your LH are in the, you know, 4 or 5 range, which is like decent, not too high. That a lot of times DHEA is low, and DHEA is, people don't realize that DHEA does a great job at getting your hormones to go and do where they're supposed to kind of where they need to go. It's almost like I use the analogy as it's like a traffic director but it gets kind of put on the curb because it doesn't like make you big and strong and like grr. So a lot of times people
nobody pays attention to it. It's not sexy. It's not sexy.
It's exactly it.
I want to get this up here. Mike Baer says, and he's right, that bloodletting goes all the way back to Egyptian era. At least bloodletting goes back to the beginning of recorded history when people started to document this sort of stuff. And there were different, but there were different reasons for it. Nobody was doing it because of HRT and their hemoglobin. They were usually doing bloodletting because someone had some ominous illness, and they would put leeches on them, and they would, and they, and so, I think bloodletting has always been around. You're right, Mike, but now it is actually, we know it's a valuable tool in helping some people, but it's
a longevity tool, for sure.
But it shouldn't be required in order for you to be on testosterone.
You should be able to go your entire life and not have to do it.
But for testosterone purposes, not necessarily for iron.
Like anything, just to clear out, you know, like just getting some of the old out, right?
I use it, I get better energy after, if I go and donate blood.
I'm kind of like
sleep. The first thing I notice the day I donate blood is I sleep really soundly that night.
It happens
every time, so I know it's not an accident.
Blood pressure, no, it's there's good things to do, and like I said, donate blood once or twice a year. You might save a life. You could say, you know, could help your own.
Right.
But if you have to do it on a schedule, because you're on hormone therapy, you're doing hormone therapy.
Your hormone therapy is wrong. It's something's wrong with it. No doubt.
So one thing you mentioned with the TSH, the T3, T4, and the T3 sensitive, you're correct. And here's what, when folks ask me that question is the TSH it's going to give us a snapshot of the thyroid stimulating hormone. And the conversations we have are going to tell us where there might be some
thyroid-related issues.
Right?
Yeah.
But there's probably not even one in 100 that have a T3, T4 conversion issue, right? Mm-hmm. So should everybody spend an extra $100? I don't know.
I see what you're saying. So basically, you're bore sighting with TSH.
Yeah,
you're going, if the guy or gal is complaining about things that are considered in the domain of thyroid dysfunction, and you look at the TSH and you go, man, it's really high or it's really low, well, then you will do follow-up.
Then we go, yes, 100%.
But if they're not complaining about low energy, being cold all the time, and their TSH is in the middle, and you're like, okay, they're fine.
I mean, we could look at everybody with low testosterone or too high, too low or TSH or unusually higher IGF-1, and say, you might have a pituitary tumor. You need to go out and get an MRI done.
Right.
You know, but it'd be excessive.
Right.
But I'll tell you that we still see, you know, a woman recently, her IGF-1 was, let's say, 286 or something. For like a 47-year-old woman, it's pretty excessive, who's not taking anything to stimulate that, who also had a TSH of like 5.6 or
That's pretty
like
high,
that.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so I said, hey, listen, I'm not trying to scare you, but it wouldn't hurt to get in touch with your endo and have that conversation to take a look and see. Maybe there's something there, maybe there isn't. We've helped people discover pituitary tumors. And gratefully, we've never had anyone that was cancerous. And it could be something that's been there for their whole life, right? Or something that came from something else. So to your point, like when the deep dive's needed, we'll do it. I mean, we'll throw the kitchen sink at you at 12 weeks if you're a mess. But, you know, that's when we use that first round of blood work is just kind of like, the general stuff that we know helps turn all the lights on that's needed, unless we need to, like, you know, get the spotlight out in the corner, right? And which we'll do at that 12-week mark.
We're going to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, I want to talk a little bit more about estrogen, aromatase inhibitors, and maybe even some alternatives to pharmaceuticals for aromatase inhibition. We're talking with Adam Lamb. The website is renewliferx.com. Check it out. We'll be right back.
Men and women, you've heard about hormone optimization. Do you feel like it's something you want to look into? RenewLifeRx.com is the place to start. Their doctors can help you with the solutions. RenewLifeRx.com has a simple process for lab work, consultation, and taking a deep dive into where your hormone levels can be improved. Superhuman Radio listeners get 30% off your initial lab work and consultation. Go to RenewLifeRx.com to schedule your no-obligation phone consultation today. Feel younger, get in better shape, and be more productive. At RenewLifeRx.com. Wanting to try CBD but not sure what to trust? Check out H-Hemp. H,
like healthy, happy, honest. HMP CBD system makes it simple with one CBD tincture available in three great tasting flavors, a super powerful breath spray that GQ magazine named a top CBD product, and a topical CBD balm that is simply the bomb. Relax and feel better naturally with the H-Hemp CBD system, available at hemp.com.
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high-protein, low-carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
Now, the number one best-selling non-hormonal anabolic agent at PredatorNutrition.com. Progenidrex has established itself as the category killer. If you're having difficulty gaining muscle while staying lean, you owe it to yourself to try Progenidrex. 100% of store reviews rated it at 5 stars, the highest possible ranking. And today, right now, there are guys pouring their hearts out in the gym with little or nothing to show for it. Don't waste any more time. Go to PredatorNutrition.com today and get Progenidrex, the world's absolute best drug-free muscle gainer.
Sleep is one of the most important factors in maintaining health and longevity. And in today's environment, with all the artificial light we're exposed to, there is nothing more important to use to protecting your sleep than blue blocking glasses. And there's only one blue blocking glasses that I will trust ever, and that's Blue Blocks. B-L-U-B-L-O-X. If you go to the website blueblocks.com and use the code SHR15, you'll save 15% off the single best blue blocking glasses in the world, because you can wear them comfortably and still function, watch TV, work on your computer, but it blocks all of the important blue and green light that has been responsible for shutting down melatonin production and causing people to sleep poorly. Don't waste another night of sleep without wearing Blue Blocks, B-L-U-B-L-O-X, tonight. Put them on at 7 p.m. and you'll be asleep by 9 p.m. and you'll get the best night's sleep you've ever had. If you've never used them before, you are missing out. Blueblocks.com. Use the code SHR15 to save 15% off.
This is the Superhuman Channel, doing reps with the weight of the world.
Welcome back. This is the Renew Life RX show. I'm just going to pop this up here. Mike Baer during the break said, look at Jordan Rubin's story. The man lost so much weight, had every blood test under the sun. No doctors could figure it out. He wrote The Maker's Diet. He was actually a sponsor on Superhuman Radio for a while, a few years ago, when he introduced a bunch of his new products and started promoting The Maker's Diet. Nice guy, really nice guy. So the war rages on about aromatase inhibitors, and you and I have pretty much agreed it's stupid to hate aromatase inhibitors, and it's stupid to prescribe them to every patient. That only blood work, as you talk about, can dictate. And if you need an AI, maybe you just need to lower the testosterone. But there are anomalies. There are people out there who are high aromatizers. There really are.
Mm-hmm.
So let's talk about some of the things that could be used as an alternative to an aromatase inhibitor.
Dive into some of the things you mentioned. DIM is one thing that we hear
DIM,
often.
DIM, definitely. Calcium deglucurate. Vitamin C, zinc, but the truth is, those are all good. And, excuse me, I had to clear my throat. Those are all good, and those may get you, if you're marginally high, those may get you down where you belong.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're on a regular dose of testosterone, 200, 250 milligrams a week, or cream equating to probably 11 milligrams a day, and you are a high aromatizer and you don't have a lot of body fat, you need to look at your chronic inflammatory markers, because here's why. So when you look at the cytochrome P450 enzyme cascade, which is the major enzyme cascade in your liver, it affects every process in your body, has an effect on and affects the P450 cytochrome cascade. And those cascades, as they say, they one feeds the other, feeds the other, feeds the other, feeds the other. It's like a train. Well, the precursor to aromatase is one that we've heard a lot in the past decade, and that's cyclooxygenase, or COX. So you hear about COX-1 inhibitors, COX-2 inhibitors to reduce pain and inflammation in the body. Well, when cyclooxygenase is overexpressed because your body is an inflammatory firehouse, okay, then guess what goes through the roof? Aromatase enzyme. Because the more of this you have, the more of the downstream you have.
Right.
So if you're one of these people that your doctor goes, you know, we've got you on the lowest possible test dose. You're aromatizing like a madman. We're going to put you on anastrozole. Before you do that, say, hey, doc, can you run some tests on inflammatory markers, homocysteine, C-reactive protein?
Like C-reactive protein, yeah.
And if those are high, get your inflammation under control with fish oil, with curcumin, with whatever you want.
Yeah,
whatever you want. Direct sunlight, melanotin 2. Get your chronic inflammation.
Melanotin 2 helps. It helps with inflammation too.
Melanotin, the melanocortin stimulating hormone, which melanotin is basically a synthetic version of, 1,000 times stronger than the stuff you produce in your own body, activates all four of the melanocortin receptors, and all four of them suppress inflammation. That's why getting out in the beach and laying in the sun is so good for you.
Interesting.
It actually suppresses inflammation. I mean, not if you burn yourself.
I recently started it like super low dose because I don't want to look like Leatherface.
Yeah.
But it's interesting. It's something that I don't personally know a ton about. But you know, inflammation is bad news across the board. So the more that we can learn to eliminate that, the better.
Yeah, 20 to 25 micrograms a day is all you need of melanotan 2 to actually see those benefits without feeling nauseous or getting tan. Hmm. I mean, that's all you need.
What color's all right?
Well, fair skinned people don't get as dark.
Right.
The more melanin you have, like me, a 25 microgram dose does make me red. But I've got so much melanin in my skin because I'm so dark to begin with that it activates it all.
Almost like a niacin flush, would you say?
But then it gets dark. But it starts out as a niacin flush, but then it sets in and it becomes tan for me.
Okay.
So Mike Bear is a pistol today. He says zinc is so important for men, especially for their bladder. A new man who couldn't urinate. He passed away. However, the doctor told his wife, if he had dietary zinc, he probably would be alive today. That is astonishing. That's astonishing. Amazing.
Yeah,
so I'm going to look at Wyatt Everhart's other question here real quick and make sure that we covered those topics. And here we go. yeah, we talked about that. We talked about the high-sensitivity estradiol test, and we talked about the basic blood work that should be done. You laid that out nicely. And, of course, our position is that AIs are not friend nor foe. They are an arrow in the quiver to be used when they have to be, and that's it. And treating them with any other emotion is a sign of not understanding science in general.
How I look at it as is some of the argument about like an AI being in absolutely no way shouldn't do it is the same thing as someone saying that about testosterone. Right. And so when I hear, you know, like a family practitioner or something like that, who's like, testosterone, stay away from it. Bad news. Shouldn't take it. It's the same thing as somebody saying that no one should do an anti-estrogen. The AIs are, they're terrible for you. They're the worst thing. And one of the biggest things for us, as far as our position of why is, you know, even me personally, if I do not take an AI, I don't feel as good. I'm more emotional. My skin, I just feel like, you ever like, I compare, it's kind of silly, but you're driving like a convertible and you get out of it and you kind of just almost feel like you need a
dirty
shower.
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
I feel like that if my estrogen gets too high.
And you've tested it often enough to know that that's what it is. So you've stopped taking it.
I've been doing this
interesting
for 15 years, right? So like, but it's, it, it's hard to explain an uncomfortable feeling sometimes, right? So that's why I shared the convertible thing.
Well, and but, and doctors don't care about uncomfortable feelings, right?
That's No, it's hard to have that conversation. Our docs do, and that's why they that's why we've had so much success is because we have a team of guys like me that have the conversation like we're having that can put those notes into the to the, our system that the docs can see and they get it, right? And they understand like, ah, you know, it sounds like he's probably aromatizing. Let's make the adjustment, right? And for me, I do a half a milligram of estrazole Tuesday night and Friday night. And sometimes it's a difference of working in the morning or in the evening. Sometimes for some people that, you know, the they're sensitive to it and it can kind of zap their energy a little bit. Doing it in the evening helps. There's all these little different tweaks that we adjust through conversation. You know, we had a guy recently too, who's been a client forever, and he was subscribing to some of this, and then he started having libido issues. So he went off the AI. He started having libido issues. He started having performance issues. And I'm like, why are you doing this? He was like, hey, I hate when, you know, people that they start, hey, I was doing some experimenting. And I'm like, oh man, don't let's, you know, we want to do that as a team, not you on your own.
Right.
But, and so I was like, well, cause then we got to try to get you back to good, which usually go out, get blood work, let's figure out what you did. And so long story short, we got him back on his regular AI regimen. And then he's messaging me and he's like, man, everything's working back downstairs again. And because a lot of folks think that if they, you know, AI is going to bury their estradiol, they're going to have libido problems, and it's not for everybody, right? Like I feel best when my estradiol is in the lower range. I just feel drier. I feel tighter. I feel just better. And I can tell when it's the opposite. So, and that's a lot for our patients. And some folks don't need much AI at all. And some need, you know, they're high aromatizers. And we test that, but we can't just throw a blanket out there on everybody. It's just, it's reckless. It's not proper care. You know what I mean?
So I have a friend. I didn't ask him if I could ask this question, so I'm not going to use his name, but I know him very well. He lives outside the United States. And he messaged me a couple months ago and said that he wakes up in the middle of the night between like 2 a.m. in the morning. I want to say around 2 a.m. in the morning, he wakes up. Yeah, 2 to 6 a.m. Massive erections, bigger and harder than I do normally before sex. Any idea why this is? And I know what he's doing. He's doing 15 milligrams of test probe a day.
In the morning or at night?
Good question.
You know, hold on. It all matters because everybody metabolizes drugs different too. I mean, we have guys that they'll do their shot Monday morning and they get, by the time they get home, they're ready to chase their wife down. But we also have guys that do the shot in the morning and they're ready to go home at lunch to chase their wife down. Right. So it's just a matter of how you metabolize. And those guys that it hits them quick typically need shots more often. And there's some guys that do, there's some guys that it's okay to do a shot once a week.
Well, he's doing daily. So he's doing 15 milligrams of test probe a day. Let's assume he's doing it in the morning. Yeah. Let's just assume he's not doing it at night. And he's waking up. I have a theory about this. I've done some looking into it. And okay. So he wakes up with these fantastic erections in the middle of the night, but not during the day when he wants his erection to be that way. Okay. And so
we have clients that have that too, and we'll talk about our theory.
Okay, go ahead.
Well, our theory is that there's two issues with erectorial. There's does it work, and the psychological, right? There's the physical part. That's where like that P shot comes in. And what we when folks get to us and they talk about like, and I'm like, well, what about morning erections? And they're, oh yeah, man, huge, great, like wake me up with it. And I'm like, you don't have a physical issue, you have a psychological issue.
Yes, this is what it is. This is what it is.
But it's hard for people to like, well, no, I don't. And like, yes, that's what it is. And I don't know. Like, I've been blessed to ever have an issue. Right? Yeah, oh, yes. For sure. Stress. I know that for me personally, like if I'm super busy, deadline, you know, or whatever, I have massive amounts of things on my plate, my wife could do cartwheels in lingerie. And I'm like, you're bugging me. Right.
Right.
But when I'm not, when my mind is relaxed, all I think about is sex, maybe. You know what I mean? So like it can shift. And that's where if your stuff is working, it's your mind. And you have to peel back some, whether it's meditation or just figuring out what's bothering you. And I've seen it where guys that just, they have it from, maybe they're dating someone new, or they're, I'll be honest with you, people that watch too much porn, I think, develop issues because now they're comparing themselves to what they're seeing. And then it,
Very good point.
I've had these conversations in the, you know, the coaching stuff that I do, where we dig deep into some stuff and discover that that's where, you know, it, but the point being, it is psychological. What is leading to it? Don't know, right? Maybe you saw some guy in the gym locker room and you're like,
well, maybe it's cool. Just the other thing that I think happens to guys as they get older is we start to worry about the quality of our erections. Like I'll never forget it. I was on a massive cycle and I was doing 2 grams of testosterone, 1 gram of DECA and a bunch of other stuff. But I thought that I was using enough testosterone to offset the erectile dysfunction causing effects of the DECA. And I wasn't. And I went to engage in sex with someone new. And I got an erection, but it went down like really fast. And then I panicked and I thought, and after that, for probably a couple years, I used to think to myself, I wonder if this is going to happen again. And that is becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy because you freak out. You start getting nervous. I had a talk with Dave Palumbo. Dave Palumbo was the one. He's like, no, the deck is not in you anymore. It's like been 3 months. It's gone.
No, it's all your head. And that's where, like I said, I've been fortunate to never have a situation like that. But I'm empathetic to the guys that have, because I hear their stories, and it's digging that up. It's like that one time that maybe it just didn't happen, and now it's plaguing you going into it, right? And low testosterone will even make it worse, because you know, some of the theory too is that, like, if my testosterone's low and my estrogen's higher, I'm kind of, you know, we see a lot of
ambivalent about sex.
Yeah. But when my estrogen or my testosterone's higher, I might go into it like I'm dominant, I'm man, I'm going to show her. Right.
Right.
Because you're confident. Testosterone and confidence are like, they're peanut butter and jelly.
Right.
You know what I mean? They come together, and that's where even men, women, majority of our client base doesn't care about their bench press or their workout. I'd say 50% of our clients don't even go to the gym. They care about the confidence, the decision making, the game changing stuff, that which all has to do with testosterone. But if your estrogen, we've seen too that folks, if your estrogen's high, it doesn't mean that you don't have to have like estrogen more than testosterone to be estrogen dominant if you're a man.
The ratio.
It's a ratio. If your estrogen is too high for what Carl needs compared to your testosterone, you are going to have those same issues, which also can lead to rectorial stuff, which also can be psychological. I mean, estrogen, almost every time, especially, and I don't want to pick on women, but a lot of times with women, men just are a little less with sharing their feelings. But give me a woman who just doesn't like life, estrogen's high every single time.
Right.
And or her, their age. And also progesterone. That's one that, like, putting a woman in her 40s and her 50s on progesterone cream is bonkers. That's what they need in their 20s when they're getting ready to make some babies.
Right.
Not in their 50s when they're, we believe that testosterone is just about the only thing that they should be taking postmenopausal.
Because it's going to feed estrogen anyway, too. It's going to feed estrogen.
It's going to balance it out is what it's going to do. If they come to us and their testosterone's at 7, and you know, they're miserable, but their estrogen's up, and sometimes their estrogen's low. And they're throwing the progesterone and pregnenolone and DHEA and the estrogen patches and all this stuff, and they're still a mess. And you pull all that away. Put the testosterone on. But the point, I digress. What I'm going to is that the psychological side of the erection piece is important. And the psychological side, though, of what estrogen can do in your body is important, right? That's a massive component, if not more than 50% of it, of what the presence of too much estrogen in your body.
You know, and so what do I tell him? I know he trains like an animal. He's super strong. He's my age. You know, he's not 60. He's in his 50s. I said, well, I would say meditate. I said, when's the last time you took off from the gym? And by him replying, I'm going to take off this week, tells me he hasn't taken off in a very, very long time.
Right.
You know, we don't realize it, but we're not only A-type people, but we're like A++ people, because we not only grind in our careers. We not only try to grind in our lives, you know, family support, vacationing, doing all the things we want to do. But on top of that, we go into the gym 4, 5, 6, some of us 7 days a week and do stuff that, like, the average person doesn't do.
Couldn't do.
And then we wonder why we have this baseline angst that we don't even notice anymore because we've been living with it for so long. Right. That it's like this, it's just this little thing down here. And when you go to sleep at night, you start the night off with that angst. It dissipates within the first hour, and you start going into your deep sleep modes, and you're in deep sleep. And then at the beginning of the morning, 2 to 6 a.m., you start to go into REM sleep when the brain is active, and you're so relaxed, but your brain is active, and you start getting your nocturnal tumescent erections that are designed to repair the penis. Everybody gets them in the middle of the night. But yours are coming up super powerful because you have no stress at that moment in your life.
Yeah.
You are like zero stress. And your penis goes, yeah, baby, here I am. But then when it comes time to go make love to your partner, you just trained. You have all this stuff going on in your life. You're worried about this. You're worried about that. And then you're supposed to just switch it off and get in bed.
Yeah.
And guys really don't give themselves the room to chill once in a while, especially today. We got push notifications distracting us. We got the cell phones ringing. We got the boss on this. And it's like we're stressed out constantly. We don't even know that we're not stressed still because we're so used to being in that zone.
Well, it's that, you know, I was even reading a book recently. I was saying that we actually can get addicted to that fight or flight response. Like we can get, there's an addiction to that cortisol spike and that adrenal spike that we kind of like look for it.
Yes.
But you know that you bring up a great point of being that like kind of alpha male A+. I like that, like alpha plus. And it can be taxing to shut down, especially if you're not good at it. You know what I mean? Like there's certain, all of us are good at, there's some things like if I'm having a bad day, I might be a little short-wicked with my kids or my wife. I might be like very curt. Right. But when it comes to the bedroom time, she might be like, hey, honey. And I'm like, it never affects me there. But for other guys, they may never lose their wick with their kids or their wife or their coworkers or their friends. But that's where it could be their spot. Right. Yeah. And I think, first of all, saying like there's nothing wrong with you that happens. It's just sometimes a way of maybe how you're managing or prioritizing stress or how you deal with things, figuring out ways to have those self-talks to unwind yourself. Cause that's hard. You know, that's the psychological side of hormones is real. And we don't too often, like the space that I think you and I come from originally, you know, me, the bodybuilding and the fitness industry, it's all about the physical stuff. It's all about the performance.
Oh yeah. I mean, let's face it. Nobody would use trend if it wasn't all about the physical stuff because you feel horrible on it. You know what I mean?
Right. And so, but when you, in the reality is it's probably 50% most that comes from the hormone stuff, right? Like when you hear, you think of women talking about their menopause and they're like, oh, my hormones are whacked, or like, you know, the hormonal side of things psychologically is so massive. And that's one of the key things because it's a quality of life. If you're angry and stressed and low self-esteem and all that all the time, that's a miserable life. I don't care how big your bench press is.
Yeah.
And those are things that we focus on. We'd like to talk about a lot more to get people to acknowledge and notice that, you know, we're correcting a quality of life psychologically for them as well. Not just like I'm losing a little bit of fat and, you know, having a better libido.
I want to take one last commercial break. When we come back, I just want to talk about something I read this morning about oxytocin. Okay, it's really you're gonna find this interesting. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with more of the Renew Life RX show. Go to renewliferx.com today to get started with a group that knows how to make you feel better. We'll be right back. Are you looking for a better way to absorb the nutrients you know you need? Do what I do and start your day with lipospheric supplements from Livon Labs. Unlike pills and powders, Livon's patented liposomal encapsulation technology transports nutrients like vitamin C, vitamin B, glutathione, acetyl L-carnitine, and alpha lipoic acid to where they need to be, your cells. Visit try.liveonlabs.com/Carl to learn why I take these supplements every day to help me perform in the gym and in life. That's try.liveonlabs.com/Carl.
Hi, I'm Ashley Grace, co-founder of H Hemp Company. Hemp CBD improved my life so much that I started H Hemp Company to help others naturally feel better. You don't have to have had a severe brain injury like me to benefit from H Hemp Company products. If you're struggling to feel better, calm your brain, or better deal with daily stress and want to do so naturally, please try H Hemp Company products. Search H Hemp Company and use code SHR for 20% off and free shipping. That's H Hemp Company and code SHR.
Whether your goal is to build muscle or burn fat, you'll find everything you need at Redcon One. Need help getting a good night's sleep? Try Fade Out or the most popular pre-workout supplement on the market today, Total War. Sign up for their new Transformation Challenge and win $10,000. Or shop for apparel that people at the gym will know that you are serious about your training. Need a testosterone booster that works? Check out Boomstick. Whatever you need, you'll find the best quality supplements on the market at Redcon One. Go to redcon1.com. That's R-E-D-C-O-N, the number 1.com. Or go to superhumanradio.net and click the Redcon One banner ad today.
Men and women, you've heard about hormone optimization. Do you feel like it's something you want to look into? RenewLifeRx.com is the place to start. Their doctors can help you with the solutions. RenewLifeRx.com has a simple process for lab work, consultation, and taking a deep dive into where your hormone levels can be improved. Superhuman Radio listeners get 30% off your initial lab work and consultation. Go to RenewLifeRx.com to schedule your no-obligation phone consultation today. Feel younger, get in better shape, and be more productive at RenewLifeRx.com.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing.
Wow, that's an old commercial. The truth is, I've been using CanSee eye drops for 11 years now, and I credit CanSee eye drops as being the reason that I do not need reading glasses at 58 years old. CanSee eye drops improve the quality and health of your eyes indefinitely. That's why I both use and endorse CanSee eye drops. Go to wisechoicemedicine.com and learn about how CanSee eye drops can improve the health of your eyes and the quality of your vision today.
You're listening to the Superhuman Channel. We're ripped and we're ready.
Welcome back. I'm not going to belabor this. I'm just going to hit it real hard and real fast. So oxytocin is magic, especially for older guys. There's research out there that shows that oxytocin actually can make your muscles young again. This is true. And I have injected 5 IUs of oxytocin post-workout for a few years now. I'm out of it right
now. The nasal stuff?
No, that's for the brain. That's just if you want to feel the effects in your brain.
Okay.
There is a place for that, but you got to make sure there's really oxytocin in it. There was a guy that was selling oxytocin spray. So oxytocin is only available.
Most of the pharmacies we work with carry it.
Yes, but there was a guy who was selling it over the counter, but it was a homeopathic preparation, which means that there was no oxytocin in it.
Oh.
Okay. Oxytocin is by prescription only. You have to get it through your doctor.
Yeah, yeah.
The injectable oxytocin is called Pitocin. They use that to make a woman dilate for pregnant if they want to bring on pregnancy faster, delivery faster. And that's what I use. I use Pitocin. I use injectable Pitocin. But a study just came out. Actually, it was a republication of a study that came out a couple years ago that showed that oxytocin actually gets rid of appetite. And that would be the intranasal oxytocin.
Okay.
Because you just want to affect the brain at that moment.
Yeah.
But what people don't understand is, and I did this show, there was a guy that I met through a TED talk. I can't think of his name right now, but he wrote a book about oxytocin and all of its magic. And what he said was, his group had done some research and they got like 200 people to agree, you ready for this? To hug their family members 8 times a day. And they took one of these very sophisticated psychological scores that you can evaluate, like how you like your life and you're enjoying yourself and you feel hopeful. And they did it at baseline, and then they did it after like 2 months of the study. And everybody said unanimously that they felt their lives had improved. And the only thing they could point to was that they made an effort to hug someone they cared about.
Oh, for sure.
8 times a day. And so guess what happens when you hug someone you care about? When you hug someone that you feel a kinship to, your brain squirts out oxytocin. Because oxytocin is the bond-producing hormone. It's the hormone that makes you love. It's the love hormone.
Makes you human. I mean, it, how we're supposed to be. And that was kind of my concern with if I supplemented with it, that it could potentially hinder that effect in the body.
No, right? it doesn't hinder it. It's nothing like that. It does affect the microbiome, too, by the way. Oxytocin increases the presence of a microbe that's been associated with better aging called L. reuteri. And they are symbiotically connected. The more oxytocin you have, the more L. reuteri you have in your gut. The more L. reuteri you have in your gut, the better you age. And so this is what it comes back to. Yes, oxytocin absolutely can suppress appetite. Oxytocin can also make you feel like your life is worth living. But you don't have to go to a pharmacy and buy oxytocin. Just hug the person you love the most 8 friggin' times a day.
Yeah.
That's it.
Well, this book that I read, and I think I talked about it, but Becoming Supernatural by Dr. Joe Dispenza. But he talks about that, like doing studies of people, you know, almost like when they have like World Prayer Day or they have those kind of things like a Hope Day where everybody's kind of at one time, everybody, it like you can change, like there's these different measures that can go off. But even in some of his events he'll do where you have that, you know, intimacy is a word that we often confuse with sex. And intimacy is just, you know, you and I have never met in person, but people that meet me in person, they know I hug them.
Right.
The second time I see you again, we hug.
Right.
I'm a hugging guy.
Right.
That's why I think too, you know, I read a study, you know, I'm a Christian and I'm very involved in my church. And I read too that, Christians typically live longer. And I think there's a part of that, like loving, hugging, you know, to, I think of my church people, right? Like my church people that are everybody. I hug 30 people when I go to church last
right.
night, to
speak, right.
you know? And so I think that to your point though, is that also being very affectionate, you know, like my kids, like we tuck in, we hug, we kiss, we come home from school when they leave for school. And all those same thing with my wife and I, you know, like if I walked out of the house, I mean, my cell phone would blow up. What's your problem? What are you mad? You know, like,
yeah, right.
But I think it's not common practice because it wasn't always common practice in my house to do that affection. And I think those, like you said, those little steps, it changed your life. It makes your life worth living. I think you said it a great way.
Yeah. And so those of you listening to the show today, start now. Start today. Hug your wife. Hug your children. Hug your mom. Hug your dad. Hug somebody that you know forever. Hug someone that you care about 8 times today, tomorrow, the next day. Just do it for a couple weeks. And if it's BS, then email me at onair@superhumanradio.net and say, Carl, I did this, man. I hugged people. All I got was a cold. And it's like, well, okay.
I think you got to be sincere. You know, like when I hug people, like I'm hugging them because I'm happy to see
them. Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that's just how I'm wired. And I'm generally a happy person. Like people that spend time with me, like, why are you so freaking happy all the time? You know,
right.
It's just, but it's my state of mind. Sure, I have bad days, but I think that's all part of it. Like you're talking about is the hugging. If I'm like hugging you out of obligation, it's different. You're probably not going to release the oxytocin, right? But if you're hugging like, man, it feels good, you know,
yeah.
to embrace another, you know, brother or sister or loved one or whatever it might be, it is. I mean, it makes your life worth living.
And the study that just came out that says that oxytocin suppresses hunger. If you're somebody who's struggling, like you're dieting and you're struggling and you feel like, man, I just want to eat something, go find your wife, go find your husband and give them a real hug, give them a big wet kiss, hug them, embrace them, get lost in that hug. I promise you, you won't be hungry after that. If the research is accurate, your appetite will just be suppressed, and you'll be like, oh, I don't even feel like eating anymore. So there you go. I should write a book, How to Lose Weight Without Buying a Damn Thing.
Hugs, not drugs.
Right? Yeah, hugs, not drugs. There you go. All right, the website is renewliferx.com. Go there. You can speak directly to Adam. Use the coupon code SHR, and you will save 20% off your lab work. Let them know you heard about them here on Superhuman Radio. All right, brother. Have a great weekend, man.
You too.
And we'll see everybody tomorrow. Tomorrow's pep talk. You're going to like this. Dr. Page is going to join us tomorrow. We're going to talk about Penalon and Epitalon. The research from Russia shows that a 10 to 20 day run, fairly high doses, it's expensive to use, but a 10 to 20 day run of this stuff once a year will make you live longer and reverse aging. Is it real? Is it legit?
That's one I'm going to listen to. I want to learn about, but an update on me taking the thymazine beta 4 and the BPC 157. I was snowboarding last week where I couldn't get on a treadmill 4 weeks ago.
Yeah. Oh, I know. The BPC 157 is really the magic in that one. There.
That stuff is just awesome.
I know. So, I know. Peptides are the magic. All right, brother. Talk to you soon. And that's all we've got for today. Thank you for watching and listening. And we'll see you by tomorrow with the pep talk. Don't miss it. Music, please.